Here is the first of our two exclusive KGEZ Good Morning Show drill downs made possible by Bailey Insurance Services. To Washington, D.C. and Bob Costantini.
Good morning, Bob.
Hey, good morning, guys. And I'm certainly here to talk about Taylor Swift's new album.
okay.
It's a double album, too, apparently. So it takes a while to get through it. But exciting news for much of the world.
Yeah.
However, in the realm of Washington, D.C. and other parts of the world, national security, of course, what we had early this morning, late last night or whatever, an attack by Israel into Iran in terms of at least one airstrike near the city of Isfahan, which is in central Iran. There is an airbase there. Well, we've not heard anything, any reliable reporting about what happened. Israel has not commented. The White House has tried to keep its distance from this attack. But it is in response to what happened last Saturday, when Iran launched as many as 300 rockets and drones from Iran directly toward Israel, and some of them go over Israel, and most of them, just about 99% of them, we understand, were shot down. Only one Israeli girl was injured in that whole barrage of aerial bombardment from Iran into Israel. But Israel, had to respond in some way. The Netanyahu government, especially Netanyahu, is not going to let that go, in a sense. But what seems to be interesting about this is that Israel also pulled a punch or two with this, because the only report that we have is in one location, and there are a lot of stories about airstrikes in other places, and Israel has hit Syria previously, so there may very well have been some kind of strike onto the Iranian-backed militants in Syria, let's say. Israel doesn't want to get into, obviously, a full-blown back and forth with Hezbollah in Lebanon while it's also trying to wage the war in Gaza. But this probably could very well play out just the way the president wants it to, or wanted it to, that Israel would not respond with a heavy hand to Iran. This is the first time these longtime enemies have actually fired at each other. So the hope is that this will not lead, or would not lead, from what happened last weekend, would not lead to an escalation, a significant escalation, while Israel is still waging the war against Hamas in Gaza, that this would just be, the expression was that Israel should maybe take a win, because the United States helped shoot down all of those Iranian drones and rockets, and so did Jordan, apparently, and maybe Saudi Arabia was involved in that, too. So if you called on Israel to take a win, meaning that the Iranian attack was thwarted by and large, then this was Israel kind of saying, okay, well, we have to respond in some way. We have to show that we're going to respond, but it's not anywhere near the heavy kind of hand that Netanyahu would probably maybe want to strike at Iran. So there seems to be some kind of attempt to make sure that this doesn't get much further, if it does at all, and doesn't get out of hand, especially, guys.
So, Bob, do we have any estimate of what this little Saturday night tete-a-tete cost? I mean, Israel's point of view, that Iron Dome, mm-hmm. I mean, that's not a cheap thing. They knocked down, 300 of these missiles and things? So how much did this cost both these guys? Any idea?
Well, it costs millions of dollars in the end, let's put it that way. And one of the things that is part of this supplemental aid bill that the president wants to pass for Iran, for Israel, I should say, as well as Ukraine. We've talked about Ukraine, obviously, but one of the boosts that the president now wants has gone from $16 billion to Israel to $24 billion for Israel to help defend itself. Part of that is the Iron Dome and the munitions from the Iron Dome that the United States helps supply Israel to prevent that kind of attack. And, you know, here's the other thing, is Iran, as we have discussed, Iran had to know that Israel had, you know, these great capabilities of thwarting a 300 rocket and drone attack. And maybe Iran had something better in its quiver that might actually have gotten through to Israel. It might have caused some serious damage. It might have caused a whole escalation, significant escalation, but it didn't happen. Iran, again, seemed to be pulling its punches. And I think what happened last night and in this morning, actually, is Israel pulling its punches, and with the hope from much of the West that this will be it and that this won't get out of hand in any particular way. And again, especially since Israel is also fighting this battle in Gaza and, you know, occasionally fighting a battle with Hezbollah in northern Israel.
Okay. So the 300 shots that Iran took at Israel was in response for this attack in Syria, and they shot 300 Iron Dome units up and knocked them out.
Yeah.
John made the
something
point
like that, yeah.
that depleted a lot of artillery in both of those cases. Mm-hmm. You know, okay, we have to move in new supplies. But the other thing that I read was that I don't know if this was before or after this Israel strike into Iran. Some reports say there was smoke near a nuclear facility there. I read a report that Iran said if they were to attack a nuclear facility, we're going to respond, you know, massively, that kind of a thing. But could this all just be posturing now, face-saving in the back end of this?
Well, of course, Robin, that's probably a lot of what this is for both sides. Iran felt it had to respond to Israel's attack from a couple months ago into Damascus, Syria, at a consulate there, where a number of Iranian military leaders were killed by an Israeli strike. And so Iran, last Saturday, decided, and we heard about this, you know, Iran's about to respond and everything else. And so the last Saturday was what Iran felt it had to do. And again, they had to know that Israel has the kind of capabilities that it has, because a lot of its proxies, including Hamas as well as Hezbollah in Lebanon, do fire rockets from time to time into Israel. And occasionally, someone in Israel is killed by some of these rockets, and Israel tends to respond in a strong way. So it is posturing. It's a lot of posturing. There's no question about it. That's the difference, I think, here. Israel is not in a desperate situation, probably, to replenish the Iron Dome, whereas Ukraine, the money that the House is apparently going to be approving starting tomorrow, or at least the authority for the president to send American-made military equipment, hardware, as well as the ammunition that Ukraine really needs. Ukraine really, really needs it. Israel probably can hold out for a while with what it has at this point in the Iron Dome. But with, you know, again, with 300 launches from Iran directed at Israel, then Israel has used up quite a bit. There's probably no question about that. But the United States helped shoot some of that down, as well as Jordan, as well as perhaps Saudi Arabia, and the United Kingdom was involved in that. And this has to do with some ships in the Red Sea, in particular, that have the capability of doing those kinds of things. So, Israel is probably in much better shape, let's say, than Ukraine is right now. And that's where the the efforts of the administration are as far as this supplemental bill that Speaker Johnson has finally decided to put on the House floor and is up for a vote probably tomorrow. It's supposed to get a bipartisan vote, but it also is angering people to Johnson's far right.
Oh, yeah. Let's turn to Midtown Manhattan and the courthouse there. 12 jurors now have been seated. We've got one alternate. We need five more. Are we going to get them in time for Monday's opening arguments?
Yeah, surprisingly, the reports coming out of courtroom are that suddenly we find that the whole jury has been seated, the whole 12 people have been seated. Even yesterday, after two jurors decided they wanted to back out and had their reasons to back out, one of them had some legal issues, had some problems, and another one said that her family members were able to suss out the idea that she was going to be a juror in this, and had sent her text messages and the like about being on the Trump jury. So she said that she was afraid for her identity. It's interesting. Obviously, in a city like New York, when you say somebody's a nurse or somebody's a school teacher or somebody's that's a lot of people in New York. But when your own family members have been able to figure out that, oh, that must be you who is on this jury and, maybe tied up for a couple of months to begin with, then you're going to worry about your safety. But surprisingly, we got the words yesterday afternoon that the whole jury had been seated, the full jury of 12 members had been impaneled, and now they need five alternates. And the judge thinks that they can do that today and have the opening arguments on Monday. They are also facing Monday night is Passover and Tuesday night as well. So the judge has to factor that in. But it seems as though we may have opening arguments in this hush money case on Monday.
Bob, as always, we appreciate your great reporting. And thank you for drilling down for us this morning.
And we will talk to you Monday. Take care, guys.
Thanks.